Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our 2019 season preview for the Port Adelaide Power. all right, what we'll do is we'll go through what happened in 2018 first, and then we'll look forward to what's going to happen this year, seeing as the season's only a couple of weeks away now. But 2018, Port Adelaide finished 10th with 12 wins. You have to say that's unders for what they were hoping for.
Well, for what I was hoping for, I had them as minor premiers.
Did have them as minor premiers. And we will get to it much later on, but not as generous this year in your predictions. But anyway, keep going.
Well, the thing was, their list I thought was ecstatic. Any team would love to have Ollie Wines, either of the Greys. Wingard obviously was loved by other teams, so they took him. Paddy Ryder, brilliant player when he's on. And if you're a captain of a club,
yep.
And you hear that Jack Watts is coming... you're fucking stoked, because who doesn't like big tits and swimming?
Well, you'd say that it's almost unfortunate that that broke at the end of the season rather than mid-season, because might have given him a G-up or something. But, yeah, that's just something else they've got to deal with now.
I think it's a very good move by Jack Watts, to be honest, because obviously when you're at Melbourne, the only way to get in good graces is to be from a private school and be connected in, you know, the upper echelons of society, whereas Port Adelaide's all about biker gangs. So I think he's really gone on that path and getting good graces with them.
Well, I think he isn't really on brand, though, yet, is he? I mean, with Coke. That's
well,
not,
yeah,
you know, true. He's got to work on that, but, you know, it's a start. But... at least he's got an edge, I guess.
Some tats too. I'm going to try to see him come out with a few of those.
The thing is, too, I think it's a bit hypocritical for them to have a crack at him about liking big tits and swimming. Like, you go through AFL House, I mean, shit, most of the AFLW is on that bandwagon.
I am pretty sure that like I said, it happened after the end of the season, but I think that the rank and file of the Port Adelaide fans now like him just a little bit more than they did beforehand.
Yeah. It's one way to get yourself out of that vacant whipping boy position that Port Adelaide has at the moment. Huge hole that's going to be filled by someone.
Be the shady mascot. He's almost a country footballer now.
It feels like that's a good segue into our first segment we always do, which is the highs of the year.
Oh, the highs, there we go.
But what were the highs for Port Adelaide on field?
Well, I was surprised that they actually had a decent run of games from, round 12 to round 16. So what's that, four in a row, something like that. They start off by knocking off the Tigers at Adelaide Oval by, two goals around them.
Yeah, but still, you beat the probably first or second on the ladder at that stage.
Exactly, and reigning premiers at the time. Bulldogs, they pumped Bulldogs. A lot of them were Adelaide Oval, pumped them by heaps. Then they knocked off Melbourne at Adelaide Oval. So that's two big names at Adelaide Oval. Knocked off Carlton MCG. Obviously, it's Carlton, but is that the MCG?
Yeah, that's a win for the MCG. Doesn't happen every day for them.
And they came back and beat St Kilda at Adelaide Oval. So obviously, there are some factors there that, it was Adelaide Oval, a couple of big teams there. But shit, we can't be all negative on Port. We've got to put in something, otherwise no one's going to listen to that episode.
No, they had some positives throughout the year. I mean, they beat Sydney and Sydney in round two, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that was a fantastic game, too. That was the best I've seen Port Adelaide play for a long time.
Yeah, and it was all down to the second half, really. That's where they really made the most of it. And obviously, for the first half, you look at it and you think it's going to be, how this game's going to go. But they kicked 4-5 to 10-6 in that last half, which is a big effort against Sydney, who are generally one of the better, more well-renowned defensive teams that are
especially
in the
at the SCG.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was feeling pretty cocky around then about my prediction of their minor premiers, because they go Freo a fair fucking hiding in round one.
Yeah.
As expected.
Well, yeah. And then Sydney at home, they gave them a fair dicking, and I'm like, feeling pretty good. And then they gave Brisbane a small touch-up, but Brisbane were honestly in that game right up until the final side kind of thing. And then the wheels kind of fell off a bit, but I was feeling pretty good.
Their other highlights I had was the showdowns, both of them, even the one they lost. Because they were absolutely cracking games. Adelaide were coming off a grand final berth, obviously a more fancy team. But they were just cracking games from start to finish. And even the one they lost, you know, like Jerker Jenkins said, it hit the post. They should have won that one. But, you know, that's the rub of the green. That's what happens. But it does change is this year, I think the showdowns are getting a more priority spot. In prime time and a national audience.
Sunday games. They should be Saturday night games, really. Because I want to watch them as well.
They're always good games.
They're good games, exactly. Yeah, yep. Put good footy on the TV. And I know Channel 7's obviously had a big play in that. They said, you know, there's been some shithouse games. Carlton, we've seen enough.
Yep. Yeah.
So, you know, you play good footy, it gets on good time slots.
And that's basic. If you're if you're scheduling, you've got to be looking at, the showdowns and thinking, all right, will they watch this in Victoria? Fuck yes, they will.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
100%.
They'll watch any good sport. If it's good sport, they'll watch it.
Plus, a South Australian team loses, so they're happy.
Their lows, then. Where are the lows?
Well, basically, having to be associated with Kane Corns is my low for Port Adelaide. Anyone who has to be like, shit, he's one of us.
I
feel sorry for you.
Every club's got their dickhead former players. I mean, I'm a Hawthorn supporter, and we're dealing with Brian Lake at the minute.
You've got former presidents, too, who's now current president.
Yeah, we call them current presidents, but that's fine. But they've got Koshy, so they've measured up in that space. Yeah,
that's actually fair.
But what a year of dickheadism they've both put in. It's a solid season from both of those. In fact, they should have their own podcast where we rate their season.
Koshy and Corns?
Yeah.
I would not listen to that. No.
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 Corns would.
Well, he does like getting stuck into it with the general public as well. So.
He does. Fucking he's hopeless. I've got a harsh low is losing to West Coast after the siren again.
Yeah.
Now, that is harsh because they should have won that game and, you know, it's pretty unlucky to lose to a kick after the siren. However, when it's happened before, all right, guys, let's work out something. Let's have a system so we don't let their only marking forward that free run at the ball.
Well, you would think that would be, you know, the first half an hour of the next training session, and then that's sorted out. You know what I mean?
But to happen again at the same oval in about 10 metres away from where it happened last year, oh, that hurts. That really
maybe
hurts.
Maybe their plan was, well, they're not going to do it twice, so
exactly.
let's go with a contingency plan, and there you go.
It couldn't possibly happen, could it?
No.
The other low is just really how they finished off their season because they were 11-4 at one stage and finished up 12-10. So that tells you they went one win from their last seven games.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big dive.
It is. And, I mean, I couldn't say I was unexpected. I was more surprised that they went that well at all.
Went 11-4.
Yeah. And so I feel like after the fact, obviously they've started going their well, you start believing that actually this is a legit team. They actually might do something come September. So the downfall for me wasn't as surprising or, you know, like out of the blue. I just was more surprised at how well they went for a little while during that season.
So when it all rubbed out, 12-10 is 12 wins, 10 losses is about what you expected.
Yeah,
but at the start of the season,
But not from 11-4.
No. And then you'd love to just be able to hear the behind-the-scenes story of what happened that season because, you know, after the season.
They don't have minds.
Well, they don't have much minds at all because the smart ones left.
I think, and I do think they are running out of excuses now.
Yeah.
He's competing and that kind of stuff, you know, when they talk about certain players.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we need stars. You need somebody to dominate.
You know, they're going to go into 2019 with fewer stars than they had in 2018.
I think so, too.
We'll get on to that in a bit. But, I mean, other lows, I would say Watts. Like, did not perform.
Yeah, but did he perform better or worse than you expected? There's two parts of that.
Than I expected?
Yeah, exactly.
Or than Port expected?
Yeah, exactly.
No, he did what I expected. Yeah. He did not do what every Port fan expected. They wanted... And look, they got him for fuck all, so I can understand the optimism. But he's worth fuck all.
I would have loved to have been on the Melbourne side of the table during the negotiations or whatever. They're like, all right, we put this in for Jack Watts. And Melbourne, what's your response? Sure.
Oh, we'll double it then. Fucking do what you want, mate.
All right, let's get into their list changes. So they got some outs. We'll start with the North ones then. Jared Pollock and Jasper Pittard. So Pittard was a bit of the steak knives, but Jared Pollock, North, I don't know if leaked it or word got out early on that there were big offers on the table for him, to the point that even Port Adelaide went, mate, you're a dickhead if you say no.
Yeah, so, but it was the point, though, as Pittard said, is that he just wanted Port to come to the table.
Like, Pollock.
Oh, Pollock, sorry.
Yeah, but the thing was, Ollie Wines was being targeted, because North apparently had a decent offer to Ollie Wines as well.
I guarantee, if you got to go near $1 million a season, Ollie Wines, that's a good investment.
Yeah, bloody oath. Quality player. And I think at the time they were circling Robbie Gray too. He wasn't out of contract yet, but they were, you know, starting to have discussions. So they needed to lock down those two.
Both Victorian boys.
Yeah, and they also thought, well, Pollock left Brisbane to come to us. He's probably not going to go. And then they saw the numbers and he's like, yeah, no, he probably is going to go.
I like Port Adelaide's response to it, to be honest, because they just looked at it and went, mate, no, we can't. We just cannot do that.
Yeah,
because if they did, you're right, they're going to lose an Ollie Wines or somebody of that ilk.
The other thing is too, what Pollock brings to Port, Port already have a little bit of, whereas what Pollock brings to North, North have none of. Like, North had no outside run.
Yep.
So, to them, he is worth that amount.
Hey, Billy Hartung. Anyway.
Outside.
Don't worry about it. Yep.
outside the Melbourne CBD Billy Hartung's zone.
And Jasper Pittard, I know he's a bit of a favourite at Port, but God damn it, he'd be the whipping boy if he was at any other club.
No, that's what I thought too. I was looking it up, and his profile pic looks like a composite sketch of some shady person he'd find in Port Adelaide.
Sketch is the right word. He looks sketchy.
Yeah, that's why he shaved all that shit off now.
Yeah.
I know they grew to love him, but I think that now that he's gone, they can admit, oh, okay, he wasn't that crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, North didn't, you know, pay the world for him.
Well, I think he is beneficial in that having him in the squad puts pressure on guys like Wright, Attlee. But, you know, we'll get into that in the North podcast, obviously. Yeah. But North wanted him. He wasn't forced on the kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And Port were happy to hand him off.
Now, the other, obviously, the big out is Wingard, but I've put him and Pollock together because you know that they finished fifth and sixth in their best and fairest this year. So they've lost two from their top six in their best and fairest. Mm. That's not good.
No.
Less than optimal, you have to say.
Well, especially, obviously, you have to weigh that against who comes in, and it's even worse after that, I think.
Yeah. You know, their ins are interesting. I won't say they're bad, but they're interesting.
Yeah.
Who won their best and fairest? Yeah, not Finn?
Fucking Pope? Grover. What's his name? Westhoff.
Westhoff. Yeah. Oh, of course.
Really?
Grover. He looks like the bloody, you know, the...
Shaggy dude. Shaggy from Scooby-Doo at, like, I don't know, 42.
Yeah, Westhoff had another good year. I think he's 30, 31 now, and he always floats forward, floats back, floats forward, floats back.
So the funny part is, whenever I watch Port games, I go into it not rating Westhoff, and then I watch the game, and I'm like, he did all right. And then all of a sudden they're talking about, definitely 3 votes for that game. I'm like, really? Like, he did well, don't get me wrong.
I think he's one of those players where Port Adelaide rates him 10 out of 10, everyone else rates him 5 out of 10, and the truth is in the middle somewhere.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, 5 out of 7.
Perfect score, Jesus. But the thing with Wingard, like, obviously it was a big offer, and there's a lot of talk that come out that his attitude was off. And
it looked like it. It did not look like he was interested to play football at Port Adelaide.
I can say it's one of those ones where all the rumours, you know, they're only rumours, but you look at it and go, you know what, that lines up.
Yeah,
some blokes just aren't into wife sharing.
What's he got against tits and swimming? That's what I want to know.
I've looked into it very, very, thoroughly.
Tits and swimming?
Tits and swimming,
How much swimming look into?
Well, you know, depends.
That was the lesser part of that, Quinella.
But was there a player that more embodied Port Adelaide? When you think of Port Adelaide, Wingard was one of the first players you thought of.
Yeah.
Him and Paddy Ryder. Paddy Ryder promised so much, delivered in moments, and then broke down.
Injuries, it's just amazing. I couldn't believe it when the rumours started that, you know, he was on the table. But anyway, there are other outs. Lindsay Thomas, fair enough.
Yep.
And poor I've got to say, like, the suspension he got for Scott Selwood, you know, and obviously the knives came out for him. I watched it again. I reckon he's a little bit unlucky. He did get him in the head, but Scott Selwood's knees were on the ground when it happened. Yeah. Anyway.
I think Lindsay Thomas, you know.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fairly or unfairly, but I would suggest unfairly, got labelled that somehow a ducker and also
a sniper.
Dirty.
Yeah.
So, look, honestly, I think there's players that do it worse than him, but for whatever... Well, you can't choose your reputation.
Yeah.
You get it.
You fuck one goat.
Yeah.
And once you've got that reputation, that's it.
It's sort of thing, too, where if you're a game-winning champion, that shit gets forgotten and forgiven.
You fuck as many goats as you want.
Yeah, pretty much. You let a goat fucker fuck as many goats as he wants if you're kicking 10 goals a game.
Also, they've delisted Jimmy Tumpus, whatever.
Yeah.
Jakey Need, who I think was a little bit of a fan favourite. He's had some toe, but still looks like he'd be more at home in the Oz Kickers. Mm. And Hompsch, who's gone, I think he's gone to Gold Coast, I'm not sure.
Right.
But
he's about 103 years old, though.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. He was sort of a stalwart in their back line, so looks like they've just thought, you know, we've got some others coming through, I guess.
I think that's funny how so many back lines at the moment, you've got that crotchety old man in the back line. Just the angry old man strength that you get.
Nothing wrong with that.
You don't give a fuck. You're just like, look, mate, you'll get the mark on me. I'll just pouch the back of the head. I'll cop the 50. I don't give a shit.
It players have made careers out of that.
I'm a big fan of that. Like, that's country footy.
Yeah, country, all right. All right, so let's have a look at their ins. I'd say their biggest in is Scott Lysett.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You get the reigning premiership ruckman, if you like, even though he wouldn't be number one ruckman at West Coast this year.
Mm.
He was obviously out for a little bit more money, and Port desperately needed a second ruckman.
Yeah. It frees them up to have a lot of different strategies with pushing Ryder down the field as well, or even resting him down there.
Or resting him in the medical room, more likely.
Yeah.
He was the best ruckman on the table too, I reckon.
Definitely. Yeah. And you know, they got him because I think Paddy Ryder had an injury in the JLT last weekend as well. So I think you just got to accept
it's valuable insurance.
Yeah, Ryder's not going to play 22 games.
Yeah, he might actually change his role in that team as well as a way to manage his injury-prone body. Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It might mean that when they both play, Ryder's 60% in the ruck.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Lysette's not really. He's not a ruck forward. You know, where Paddy Ryder is.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to have to, instead of resting him forward, rest him on the bench a fair bit.
Yeah.
I thought Lysett wasn't too, dismal around the ground as well. I thought, playing across half back, intercept marks and 30-metre kicks.
He had a great final series, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Remember hearing at the time when they chased Lysett that Vardy was a potential too. And I'm like, geez, if you can get him.
Both of them had a great September. If I had a choice between the two, I would take Lysett. I think he might be younger than Vardy too. Not sure.
But either way, they'd be pretty happy with that. But
Absolutely.
I think the new rules actually suit a fit Riders game.
They do, but they fit genuine ruckman. And without Lysett, they'd be, when Paddy Ryder's resting or injured, they're running Westhoff or Dixon or,
Westhoff's not a ruckman's asshole.
Exactly, yeah. He's...
And Dixon...
No.
No. I want Dixon to be good because I feel like... He has 30 seconds every game where you're like, oh, shit, he's still playing.
Yeah.
Cool. Maybe he can do it. And then suddenly he just...
He threatens a lot. But, and I think he's one of the ones we're talking about, some of their low points. And they go, oh, yeah, he's competing good. I'm like, no. He's a key forward. He shouldn't be competing good. He should be marking good. He should be goaling good.
That's the thing. You see him occasionally bleed out like Tony Lockett, take a strong mark. You're like, that's what you want to see.
Yeah,
he's going to turn it on.
Big, angry lad. But, mate, where's that aggression going?
Yeah, it's got to be all day doing that.
And then he kicks the ball and it's out on the full.
And you're going to give away free kicks, and that's all right, because you've got to intimidate your opposition. You don't want them stepping in the holes that are your lanes for leading into.
Yeah. I guess that's frustrating too, because you do see people run into his lanes.
Yeah.
And that's when the Tony Lockett needs to come out and just barrel them.
Yep.
Teammate or not.
Sam Mays has come down from GC. GC or Brisbane? Sorry, I've gone blank there. Good young player. He's right age bracket. That's fine. Ryan Burton, obviously, with the wing guard trade. Can't speak highly enough of the lad.
Yeah. It's probably a net positive for Port Adelaide based on how Wingard was actually playing for them and his enthusiasm. Could not see him picking it up this season. So
he's still, if he's unenthusiastic and finishes sixth in the best and fairest, says a lot about how much talent he has or how much lack of talent Port has.
I mean, a little bit of A, a little B. I think so. I think there was a lot of people that weren't that interested in playing footy for Port Adelaide by the looks of it.
Just didn't have the skill.
Yeah. I mean, there's a stat that players that are traded away from Hawthorn never play more than 12 games next season. I just made that stat up.
No, you're going to say that's clearly not true. But,
but I'm reporting it as fact.
I think even Hodgie beat that at Brisbane this year.
No, fact. No, I'm not fake news, not accepting anything else. But anyway, I don't see how they would be happy with trading Burton for Wingard. Because Burton had such a future, and Wingard is at the end, but the
24.
Final few years of his career once he plays Luke Hodgie.
He's getting close to midlife crisis, is what he's saying. You know, then you start thinking, well, do I really want to make $500,000 a year playing footy? Or, you know, should I?
But I'll give you a tip. I don't think it's 500 either.
Go be an accountant. Hawthorn's plan's always been to get Luke Hodge back in the squad, back at the coaching panel. So once that happens,
eventually, yeah.
Wingard's fucking out. Literally, he's gone.
I think Wingard might just turn into Sean Burgoyne. Play another 20 years or something and just turn it on.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Getting the second wind.
And also, obviously, with that, Burton and Wingard was a bunch of picks and that kind of stuff. So they've got a whole bunch of rookies. I'm not going to go through them all.
No, because they'll fuck up those picks anyway. So.
Didn't they warn Gold Coast off picking SA players? You guys better not pick SA players, motherfuckers.
I think that was Koshy. Let's just not warn
everyone. I mean, the only audience Koshy reaches is Adelaide audience anyway. Yeah. So I'm sure I got him lots of high fives and clicks and shit. I know the ratio was good on his Twitter profile. What the fuck they talk about these days?
He's on Today or Sunrise.
I have no fucking idea. Sunrise. I'm never up that early.
Sunrise. Do you know anyone that watches that?
No.
Honestly. It's really just unemployed single mums.
No. All right, I talked about that story on the gambling podcast. I was working in Club 23 after the Logies. And I was dealing roulette, and these two old couple who were playing roulette, they turn around, they're like, oh my God, it's her. And I'm like, who's that? I'm like, what? Don't you watch Sunrise? I'm like, lady, it's 2 a.m. in the morning and I'm sitting here at work. What time do you think I get up? She's like, oh, wow. No, you get up and watch it. She's lovely. I'm like, she's talking trash and selling you shit at 7 in the morning. Yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah. I've seen the ratings for those shows. They aren't big.
No.
But apparently they fill columns in the papers and everything.
It's advertising because I've seen a little bit of it when I stayed up late and watched it.
No, they're fucking horrible.
But it's advertising with ad breaks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, and poorly done.
And then opinions, not news. It's like, so we've got this situation, this national emergency. So as a mother, here's what I think. I'm like, fuck off.
Let's ask someone who's from, My Kitchen Rules or some shit about this.
Drifting massively now. All right, so let's have a look at their double ups for next year. Port Adelaide play twice, Richmond, North, Crows, Lions and Freo. That's rough.
It's tough.
That is rough.
It is tough. Who comes to the little cameo there? Who comes to decide the double ups? Is it a committee or is there a formula with where
No, there's not a formula. There's like, so depending on which band you finish in, so first six, second six, third six. So you play, depending on how many double ups you have in the other six. But the ones that they've got, like Richmond, obviously are going to be up there with premiership favourites and they've got stronger. North have taken, a couple of good players out of Port.
Yep.
The Crows are always the Crows. The Lions have improved and Freo have probably improved.
Yeah.
So I reckon that's one of the unluckiest double ups you could get.
I put them above Freo. Every other team, I think, will either give them a hide or push them.
Well,
I think
Lions is an interesting one because they could be top eight,
yep,
or they could be bottom four if things fall apart.
Yeah.
Where are they playing the Lions? Is it
double
one
up? Yeah.
So. They don't have the double up against Gold Coast this year because they're playing Gold Coast over in...
they're playing... St Kilda over in China.
Oh, right, yeah. They should give them a hiding there because, let's be honest, St Kilda will probably defect. They'll stay there. But I think Brisbane... I'm tipping Brisbane in that double.
They're rough. They're rough.
Because I think everything Port does well, Brisbane does slightly better. Like, look at... they've got Lysette and Ryder. Stephen Martin's going to eat them both.
Yeah.
He will just cook them over breakfast. And then I think, Port's got some good young lads. Brisbane's lads are a little bit younger, a little bit better.
Yeah. Their run and carry is really, really good.
Rainer versus Robbie Gray. I think that I think Rayner's harder.
Yeah, Rayner's more of a forward though, and you expect Robbie Gray to play forward or mid. So they probably won't see each other all that much.
Well, we'll be surprising about Rockliffe though, because honestly, he didn't impress me much in 2018.
See, the funny thing is, he did exactly what I thought he would, and he was averaging 30 to 32 touches up at Brisbane, but there wasn't much quality up there, and somebody has to get the ball.
Yep.
He's only a 20 to 25 possession player, and that's what he came back to a little bit. But, first year in the new outfit, you'd hope he did better second year.
It does take time to sort of integrate a new game plan, new game style, new teammates or whatever. Yeah. But I thought I'd get a bit more out of him.
So who's going to have a big year then for Port Adelaide this year?
Has to be Power Pepper.
It has to be. I'm a big believer in the second-year Blues, and I reckon he had a little bit of that this year.
Yep.
So this is third year now. He can't be a impact player. He's got to be the next Ollie Wines.
Well, he did have a bit of a distraction too, and there was some shit going on. They touched up some chick at the Ramsgate or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he did have that going on in the background too, which will kind of distract a lad. Having Jack Watts there would have helped him out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Let him know how to handle that shit. But for whatever his off-field character is like, on the field he's fucking great.
Yes.
He's super aggressive, not afraid of the physical stuff, and just has zero fear. When you get a young lad, because he's what, 21, 22?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Just no fear, backs himself, and you just love to watch it.
Whoops. And you just want to see his game evolve as well. Like, obviously very young, and he's shown his talent, what his basic skill set is, but that has to evolve, otherwise you get found out. Yep. So I'd like to see what the preseason has sort of... What fruit he'll bear from a preseason of trying to fix up some weaknesses in his game, especially on the defensive end. But I think he's definitely got that talent to be able to get there. It's just a matter of whether he's managed properly.
I do think he's a bit too intense at the moment. If he starts get a bit, take a bit more time and actually hunt the delivery and try and pinpoint a player, there is a bit of Burgoyne about him. Like, he can just have... Look, at the moment, he's got the pace and he's got the power.
He's far more physical than Burgoyne.
Yeah, but if he sort of backs off a bit in the gym and spends a bit more time watching game footage, he could develop into that sort of player.
See, I go the other way. I reckon there's Dusty Martin in him. I reckon, keep with the aggression, but you're right, the footy smarts have got to come on. And that's just years, years in the system, years playing AFL, that you're going to naturally develop that. And if you don't, you're not an AFL footballer.
Yep. I mean, although if this was 10 years back, he'd be the next Byron Pickett. Unfortunately, the next Byron Pickett won't ever play footy because that game doesn't play anymore.
The rules have changed slightly.
Yeah, you can't kill people. I mean, geez.
I've got Ollie Wines down as well. Now, he's had a bit of a mischief in the off-season. Whereas he added a Tuca on the wakeboard or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
He's
done
his shoulder. So he's going to miss round one or two, and he's been named the new co-captain.
Yeah.
I love that the rumours go around that if he wasn't injured, he'd be solo captain. But anyway.
Another Cane Corns flog fucking comment when he's saying you shouldn't be able to have fun.
Wasn't the controversy, it's the first time in the 7,000-year history of the club that the captain won't be wearing number one?
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, okay. Is it?
Well, apparently Jesus was a Port player.
Cochin doesn't wear 17. He was the first to do that. Didn't matter. He won a premiership. It's all good.
Yeah. I'm not into this lucky number stuff like that. No. But it seems to be they start these traditions and then after a while they go, nah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Because I think it was at Collingwood. It used to be the captain wore number one. And then they went, oh, Nathan Buckley's captain now. Five.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, all right, the captain wears number five now. And then Pendles goes 10.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, we don't give a shit.
Whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, plus that way you can sell like extra Guernseys if you want the captain's Guernsey. So it's economically makes sense.
At least you don't have like a captain's armband or anything like that in soccer. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, well.
In soccer, it makes sense.
Makes sense. I guess they're the ones that can argue with the umpire, right?
They have it in the NBA too, don't they? With like
little C.
But again, they have multiple captains.
And yeah.
It means nothing. There's only five on the fucking field anyway.
Plenty of the captains are big C's anyway.
They just get more leeway in talking to the referee, I believe, in contact. I had down young Zach Butters. Hasn't played a game yet, but the potential for South Park related memes on Reddit is just too mouthwatering to resist.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Do you know anything else about him?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I know his first name's Zach.
I'm going to get grounded.
But I was just looking at it, like the ability to be sent to his room on bad games, and Reddit will have a fucking field day with this one.
Well, he comes out as, what's his name? Captain Bloody.
Oh, what was
Professor Chaos. Chaos.
Captain Chaos.
Professor Chaos.
Professor Chaos. Yeah. Yep. That'll be Mad Monday. Fuck yes.
I'll make him the costume and send it.
Maybe he did it last year. I don't know. I've just first discovered this guy researching for this podcast.
Yeah. All right. So have we got any more for the big year for Port?
No.
I'll put Lysak. I think, you know, he's going to spend a lot of time as the number one ruckman.
Yeah.
And the new rules help genuine ruckman. But who's on the outer? Who's in trouble? Who's on the chopping block? I got two names.
Well, it's got to be Jack Watts, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, Jack, shit. I don't think he's on the chopping block. I think he's...
he's chopping something.
He's chopping something up on that block. It's not him. Obviously, he could just stay in for the popularity factor if it keeps on, you know, just going full wild card.
Get him to organise end of year.
Yeah, exactly. He could endear himself to the Port Adelaide fans that it's a real easy sell. Just keep him on the list. He's cost them fuck all. Hopefully, he plays a couple of games just for the sake of it. But
I've put down Paddy Ryder as well, purely because we know how good he is. But what is he, 31 now?
Exactly. North it's like of prime window for St Kilda to pick him up.
It's just how many games is he going to play? But he's a world beater when he does play. But yeah, like we said at the top, you're not going to get 22 games out of him.
No, and unless you're deep in September and you've kept him on ice, he's no good.
Yeah, exactly. And the last one is the obvious one, Hinkley.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been a long time.
It is, and eventually the pitchforks will turn towards coach, especially if they've run out of, you know, whipping boys in the squad, which if they endear themselves to Jack Watts through his debauchery, he's not going to be an easy target for the fans, and it might actually turn on Hinkley.
Especially with such a vocal president.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
How many former Port players are in the system at the moment in coaching?
Hopefully none.
Well, former Port players.
I can think
of a couple, but...
What I really want to see is Kane Corns get the job.
It's not going to happen.
I would just love it because, you know, well, Corns and Koshy would be just punching on.
What would be hilarious, because I'm pretty sure Chad Corns is a coach.
Oh, please.
He might be coaching the Port Magpies from memory.
I will sign any... get up petition that can get Chad Corns in that. Because for a start, Kane Corns have to shut the fuck up.
It'd be interesting.
He won't be able to criticise the team. Because if he does, his dad will whoop him.
That's very true.
And then on the second part, Koshy is going to have a whole fucking family after his ass.
So if Port Adelaide finish 10th again, and Koshy's not going to keep quiet about it,
yeah,
I reckon it's going to come down to one of them has to go.
Yeah, and Koshy's not going to on the go.
Koshy's turned them around financially.
Yeah,
well, he's got the receipts.
Yeah, and Hinkley, don't get me wrong, when Hinkley took over, Port were an absolute basket case.
Yeah.
On field as well as off. And now they went from, you know, a kick away from a grand final to, you know, 3 years later saying, oh, remember when we were a kick away from a grand final? Now, that's a long time ago. And they've cleared out a lot of players. They've got a new playing list in. Something better change.
Yeah. I mean, if you can say, like, I was kick away from the grand final in 2000, whatever, no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get merch for that.
No.
And, actually, maybe they do. I don't
know. they rested on it for a while. All right. So, predictions then. We've all done our ladder predictors. Where do you see the Port Adelaide Magpies, Port Adelaide Power finishing in 2019? Well, knowing, Josh, that you put them minor premiers last year.
Well, you were the most optimistic, so I think we should start with yours.
Yeah, you want to start with mine? I've still got them a 10th, which is where they finish this year. That's a rough draw, and I think objectively, they've gotten worse through the trade period.
Well, that's what I think, too. I think their draw's harder, and their squad has lost a step. So
they lost 5th and 6th, and they're best and fairest.
Yeah, so I've got them 15th. I think if they finish lower than 15th, it's rebuild time.
Yeah, I think if they finish 15th, it's rebuild time.
Yeah, I think it's rebuild time for them. I've got them finishing 14th. I think that there's just no... I don't see the avenue to beating those teams that have had better sort of... they're more stable.
Something's got to go right.
Seasons.
Yeah.
But
I think with the amount of changes there, it's not a year that I think they're going to hit the ground running. I think it's a rebuild year. That's what it should be.
Yeah. I also think their star players, Ollie Wines, Robbie Gray, you can't build a team around. They need a third superstar that can actually be the core of that team.
Well, and Paddy Ryder should be that star, but he's spending more time off the field than on.
Yeah.
Who would you say is their best hard ball getter?
Oh, Wines, without a doubt.
Yeah. Who's helping him, though? Yeah. Like, Power Pepper?
He's coming into it, yeah.
He's coming into it, but I mean, he is more the guy you want to bust pack.
So they thought Rockcliffe was that player, and they were mistaken.
Well, I thought Robbie Gray can do that role. They just didn't put him in that role. They put him on the outer and put him up forward.
Up forward so much.
I thought that was a place where he excelled.
Yeah, I still reckon Robbie Gray could win a Brownlow if he played as a midfielder rather than a midfield forward.
Yeah,
and I know he can kick goals. He kicked 6 goals in one game.
Yeah,
but
he can cut you up in the midfield so well because he is one of those guys talented. That has a great first step. Like that acceleration from a standing start is brilliant for him.
Yeah. Yep.
And the ability to change direction and very hard to tackle.
One of the best football minds going around.
Yeah.
And he sees the game 2 steps ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
And I've said this, God knows how many times when we've reviewed Port Adelaide games, he thinks too fast for his teammates.
100%. And the thing is, you're paying big bucks for big forwards up there. They've got to be the one kicking the goals.
Yeah.
Like, it's up to Gray to get the ball down to them. It's really unfortunate they need to push him forward and kick those goals because then it takes so much more out of the midfield than what they need to add to their already, you know, pretty decent forward line.
But it does show, though, that a lot of teams are going towards that now. You know, Robbie Gray won out in the goal square. Yeah. You'd love that.
For sure.
But, you know, and Richmond obviously do it with Dusty Martin. Collingwood did it with Degoe.
I blame Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Dangerfield as well did it more than once.
Yeah. The difference is, like, well, I'm going to speak for Richmond. It's Dusty that goes, I'm just going to go forward for a bit. Everyone, fuck off.
Yeah.
It's his call. Whereas Port Power needs someone to be able to kick goals, and so they say, Robbie, you go up there.
Yeah, I still believe that Robbie Gray should be spending 90% of his time in the midfield.
Yeah,
resting up forward, not playing up forward. But anyway, so we've got a missing out on finals, all 3 of us, but you never know. We could be wrong.
Yep. Went through this whole podcast without mentioning Scotch Transport's box, which we have just done. So,
fuck them.
Fuck that cunt.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.